Usually, when we hear about the tiny house movement, we conjure images of kind of quirky self-made homes that total about 100 square feet, so tiny you can pull them behind your car. Well, some people are now wondering if tiny houses could find a more permanent place on the American landscape. Could they, for instance, revitalize parts of a city? A discussion is underway now in Pittsburgh, where a 330-square-foot house is for sale. It's sort of like a studio apartment, but it has a porch and a foundation, too. And one developer hopes this tiny home is the first of many. Lou Bluen from the Allegheny Front at WESA has our story.
2 years, that's how long Eve Picker has been planning Pittsburgh's first tiny house development. It hasn't been easy. She couldn't even get a bank loan because the project was too unusual. And city zoning codes aren't exactly set up for tiny houses. So getting to this day, where ground is actually breaking, it's a big deal.
Yes, it makes it feel real. I love construction. The messier it gets, the happier I am.
Picker is a veteran of Pittsburgh's development scene and a bit of a maverick. She started renovating downtown lofts way before it was trendy. And her tiny house is a bit of an experiment, too. It's one of 16 projects that Picker's group City Lab now has underway in an attempt to breathe some new energy into Pittsburgh's Garfield neighborhood, a place which has yet to catch the wave of the city's ongoing renaissance.
Yeah, I'm really puzzled by Garfield. Garfield is sort of the hole in a donut of economic development and wealth that rings it.
That ring now sports all the traditional signs of urban renewal. A shopping district with a Whole Foods, $2 a square foot apartments. Google has even moved in down the road. Meanwhile, Garfield is losing population and gaining blight and vacant lots. It just couldn't attract the kind of new residents that economists say are key for reinvigorating and stabilizing neighborhoods.
And so I thought, well, what if we took this information and said, instead of focusing on affordable housing and social services, let's focus on this demographic.
In other words, why not try to attract these kinds of creative workers, the designers, the engineers, by bringing something to the neighborhood that would appeal to them and that would give the community cachet? One idea, tiny houses.
People love tiny houses. There's a tiny house movement that's global. I don't know why it's such a romantic notion, but people seem to really love the idea.
And the idea has already generated a lot of buzz. Picker says even the local cops now call Garfield the tiny house neighborhood. And the house isn't even finished yet. But not everyone in Garfield was feeling the love, at least at first.
People wanted to understand, is this a replacement strategy for the people who live here now? And the answer was no. It's a fill-in strategy.
This is Rick Swartz. He heads up the nonprofit Bloomfield Garfield Corporation, which is providing some of the financial backing for Eve Picker's tiny house project. He insists it is not a gentrification project.
Is this about gradually replacing the low-income African-American population? Is it about moving them out of the neighborhood? So we're going to see how it's received. And if this becomes a lightning rod in the community, then maybe this will be the only tiny house that gets built.
Swartz is optimistic that won't happen. In fact, he says most people in the neighborhood just see Picker's tiny house as a curiosity. And if the neighborhood accepts this first one, Swartz would like to see more tiny houses built on Garfield's more than 500 vacant lots. But at the end of the day, he says his neighborhood's attitude toward the project will depend a lot on who ends up buying the tiny house.
People are going to look and see who it is that lives there. And if this looks like somebody who is, you know, going to be vacationing down in Aruba, you know, while he lives in our neighborhood the other 11 months of the year, I've got big problems.
This concern over who the buyer might be assumes, of course, that there will be a buyer. And this is maybe the only example we could find in the country where a developer is building a tiny house for sale in a city neighborhood. So no one knows if the buzz over the DIY tiny house movement means people will buy these houses.
I think the fact that we're talking about it shows that there's already a certain level of intrigue.
Layla Bozorg is a housing expert who's done a survey of tiny house projects nationwide.
Whether that will translate into demand, I'm not convinced yet. I think that right now, tiny homes still appeal to people who aren't necessarily in the mainstream. I wouldn't necessarily call them fringe populations either, but it's people who want to think outside the box and are kind of asking, is there a different model right now for living?
Should this pilot project be successful, Bozorg says Rust Belt cities like Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Cleveland, which already has something similar in motion, stand to be at the forefront of this new sector in the tiny house economy. In cities like New York or San Francisco, Bozorg says this concept wouldn't have a chance. Land is just in too short a supply to build dwellings that might only house one or two people.
But, you know, in shrinking cities, I think it could be used as a model where you have a lot of individual plots of lands that used to have large homes built on them that are no longer viable. I think that could be an interesting test, whether there's demand enough from folks that are seeking affordable housing to go to tiny homes as an alternative.
The first test of that alternative is about ready to play out. Eve Picker's 330-square-foot tiny house is now on sale. The asking price is $109,000. For Here and Now, I'm Lou Bluin.